say teaching, amen. I'm going to say teaching, Minister Raj, and if y'all act right, I'll stay on the platform up here, but if you don't, I'm coming down. I'm coming down. I'm going to walk your aisle, and I'm going to wonder why you're not in the text that I just asked you to turn to. And I might call y'all and say, why are you in John when I'm in Acts? So look at your neighbor and say, it would behoove you to pay attention to Pastor V this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you all know we're in the year of the triple auras, and I'm excited about it. And so we have been going and referencing Acts 3:19 over and over and over again. How many of you have it in your spirit? It's in my spirit. And it says that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And today I'm ministering on the power of agreement, a refreshing experience. The power of agreement as a refreshing experience. And so if times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, then in his presence is where we experience the oneness. Somebody shout oneness. The oneness with him, where all that's his become ours. Don't you like that? And all that we have or supposedly possess, we're able to lay down at his feet and say, use me, your Lord. Use me and use all that I have for your glory. That's what we do. So when a relationship has this type of an agreement, come on, this type of an agreement, it becomes mutually beneficial for both parties. It does. He's able to give us what he has, and we're able to lay everything we have at his feet and say, use me, use everything I have for your glory. And we nickname that the great exchange. And that's a mutually beneficial relationship. Come on, for both parties. How many of you know that's a blessing? So someone's maybe thinking, I know how I can benefit from a relationship with God. But PV, how can God benefit from a relationship with me? I'm here to answer some of your questions this morning. Is that all right? Some of y'all been wondering and thinking, and like Arsenio Hall used to say, things that make you go, So you say, well, how can God benefit from a relationship with me? So let's jump to that same scripture, but go to verse 19. It says that he being God, come on, so that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Watch what is happening. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. So Christ is remaining in heaven because God's not able to release him back to the earth until all things have been restored. So we come into this relationship as an agent of restoration. Come on, let me say, God is not coming off his throne to accomplish not one more thing in the earth realm. I'm not even sorry about that state. He's just not doing it. But what he is going to do is he's going to see who's willing to engage a relationship with me that says, use me so that I can use them as an agent of restoration. Come on, to bring restoration back to the governmental systems that have been distorted and destroyed by the enemy. How many agents do we have in the house? Come on, I said this is mutually beneficial, and you'll wonder, how can God use me? Go get Pastor Charlie's series, The Seven Mountains of Influence, and detect which mountain, which governmental system are you called to impact, because it's that system that you need to lay at the feet of God and say, use me to bring restoration. Come on, y'all, to the military system, to the entertainment system, to the health and nutrition system, to the economical system. Somebody shout, use me, Lord. Give him a praise if you're ready for him to use you in a new way. Somebody think they've been used already, but I'm here to pronounce that God is ready to use you in a new way. A new way. Did Jesus not pray, thy kingdom come? That will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the best portrayal of agreement that I can show you this morning. Because there's no chaos and there's no confusion. You know, there's no frustration. There's no anxiety. Everyone in heaven is in a full agreement with one man, and that is the God himself. So his son is sitting at his right hand. Come on, y'all. He's not questioning. He's not wondering why. He's not saying, but how come we don't do it this way? He came down, come on, and accomplished everything that the Father sent him to accomplish. And then he returned back to the heavens where now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen? So today I want us to understand and embrace the act of agreement in a fresh, new, powerful way. All right? Is that okay? A way that's going to cause us to feel refreshed and renewed daily. How many of you tired of a good day and then a bad day? An up day and then a down day? A full of energy day and then a wore out day? Come on, each day we're going to be refreshed and renewed, amen? So I referenced and said an act of agreement because to agree is an act of our will. Just like to disagree is an act of our will, is it not? So everyone in this room has the right to agree or disagree. Am I right about it? Uh-huh, we've been implementing this act to agree and disagree. So a teaching like this I feel is critical. Because when dealing with relationships and dealing with the word of God, there's so much power in agreement. There is. While disagreements in relationships, been there, come on. Disagreements in relationships and disagreements to the word of God literally renders us useless and powerless. Because there's so much disagreement in the atmosphere. Come on, there's power in agreement, but how do we get there? All right, so I want to just do something here to make sure we all understand. The power of agreement enables us to get where we need to go in life and be who we were created to be without the tension, the fight, or the struggle that often comes through disagreement. Can I say that again? The power of agreement enables us to get where we need to go in life and be who God created us to be without the tension, the fight, the struggle that often surfaces as a result of a disagreement. Have you ever gotten into an argument, a disagreement? Come on, tell the truth, y'all. Shayna, don't make me come to your aisle. We're in class. By the way, this is a 9:30 service. I love it because I don't have to hoop and holler and jump up and down and rip the carpet and break my heel. Okay, sweating and everything. Have you ever gotten into a disagreement, students? Raise your hand. Wow, that's about everybody. Albert, you know, you better. Don't come from South Carolina playing with us, okay? We still the same. We can point you out of a crowd of 400. Ain't that something? Yeah. Have you ever gotten into a disagreement and found yourself with a tension headache? Me too. How about struggling in this disagreement, Elder Charles, to try to prove your point? It's like a battle. It's like a fight. It's like a struggle. How about gotten into a disagreement that, Jewel, it led to a fight? Yeah, just a plain old, you throwing things. Come on, you fussing and you yelling, you sweating. Come on, a disagreement that led to a fight. How about it's just running up your blood pressure? You go to a doctor, they talking about your blood pressure high. You know it was from that disagreement you had with that coworker yesterday. You know that, right? So disagreeing with your spouse and disagreeing with the kids, and then we go to work and disagree with our supervisor. Our day is just full of disagreements. But I'm here to say it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it. These disagreements are delaying our progress. Yes, it is. It's delaying our progress. And when I talk about disagreeing with even your supervisor, for those of you who always disagreeing with the boss at work, got a quick golden nugget for you. We need to learn how to face our supervisors and force ourselves to come into agreement with them. Can I say that? Whether we understand them or know what they're doing and where they're going or not, we need to force ourselves to come into agreement with them. We say, well, you know, promotion comes from the Lord. No, we got a word for everything. I don't need to do promotion. Don't come from him or her. Promotion comes from the Lord. Did I not just say, Raj, that God's not coming off his throne to give you anything else? But what he is going to do, he's going to look down in the earth realm and see where is the power of agreement. Where is the worker that is in agreement with the supervisor? And now I will use that supervisor to promote and elevate the one that's not coming up against and stirring up dissension. about agreement. Somebody shout the power of agreement. But it's amazing to me, Pastor Seeker, we come to church and we minister and we holler, amen, hallelujah, to this next statement. You don't have to know where Pastor C and Pastor V is going with the vision. Just jump in and ride the wave. So y'all don't know what we doing, where we going, how we going to get there, but you trust us enough to jump in and ride the wave. But when we go to work and the supervisor says, I want to do it this way, well, you got to explain that to me. I think there's a better, I have a better way at doing that. But then we come to church and say, yes, whatever you want, Pastor, we on board. So what I see happening is so confusing because in the church, the leaders are being promoted and elevated, but in the workplace, they're remaining in a place of oppression, a place of bondage. So we get up and start ministering about progressing the vision, and everybody's still a worker bee and has not elevated to supervision, directorship, and business ownership because we have not come into agreement with the supervisor. Somebody ought to give God a praise for that. I got to move. Help me, help me. We're going to learn today. Come on. So, even when we don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense, this is how we get to where we need to go quicker, with less stress, with less strain, and with less struggle. I call it riding the wave. Let me get about nine to 12 individuals. Come join me up here on the stage real quick and just stand on this end for me, all right? You got 3 seconds, students. Come on, pay attention. Pay attention to the teacher. Amen. Give it up for our participants in this illustration. All right. All right. Just line up this way for me. Turn this way, and we're going to do rows. Do me some rows. There you go. And you all go behind them, and we can do three. We can do three, three, three. There you go. Robin, you stay with me. Yeah, baby, you come out here. God said you were going to stand out, didn't he? Whoo, this is prophetic confirmation that you don't fit in. You stand out because he's using you in a unique way. Hallelujah. You better catch that because you about to get promoted and elevated. And folk that didn't know your name, didn't see or recognize you, are about to see you now. Hallelujah. So anyway, we look at this illustration. I like to call it riding the wave because these individuals, they have the word. They're speaking into the atmosphere, and it's a positive force that I like to call agreement. Y'all in agreement with one? Look how unified and how good they look. I just love it. Let me get one more individual to stand behind Sarita. Mm-hmm. So now when we talk about, come on, Elder, when we talk about there are forces, and the power of agreement is a powerful force, but I want to show you that there's also a powerful force with disagreement. All right? And so now disagreement is trying to go somewhere, but watch what the powerful force of agreement does when she tries to get in and get through. She's going over to the chairs, but the power of agreement is not going to be able to let her all the way through. She can get through a little bit. Yep, she can get through a little bit. She can get through a little bit. Yeah, she can get through a little bit. But look, when you're walking in the power of agreement, look, disagreement just can't go where they need to go and get there without a fight, without a struggle, without added pressure being applied to her. But guess what? If we tell her something as a supervisor, this could be the church, this could be your job, this could even be those in your family, you know, that's carrying the word of God, because, you know, everybody's not carrying the word. But when they're carrying the word, isn't it just better if you all come walk very slow to me? Mm-hmm. She couldn't get through, but when she agrees, she's able to go in the midst of the others that are agreeing. And look, they kind of just carry her. She don't know where she's going. She don't know what she's doing. She don't even know how she's going to do it when the supervisor says, do something you've never done before. But she just rides the wave. And they're able to carry her, stop right there, to her destination. Look at how less stressed that is. No headache, no burden, no struggle. Somebody just shout, I'm ready to ride the wave. Come on, the children of Israel, they murmured and they complained, and it took 40 years for them to enter into the promised land. And on the workplace and in ministry, we are going somewhere, but the murmuring, the complaining is what delays and hinders our progress, and is known as disagreement. Disagreement. Moses says, God told me A, B, and C. Well, Moses, I think we ought to do it this way. Come on. Then Moses go back to hear a word, and he come back, and they done built golden images. Come on. And so God says, I can't stand the murmuring and the complaining and you wanting to do it your way. Come on. It's time for us to come into agreement so that we can get where God is taking us and be who God created us to be without the burden. I'm tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. How many of you are just ready to tap in and possess the promised land? Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Write this down for me. Agreement represents unity. We're struggling. Why not just catch revelation? Come on. Just catch revelation. Don't understand. Just ride the wave. Where are we going? You know how to get there? Okay, I'm going to hang with you. You're going to help get me there. Agreement represents unity. Agreement is defined as harmony in opinions or feelings. Harmony in opinions or feelings. Then that tells us harmony is described as the simultaneous sounding of two or more notes and the technique of bringing such chords together. Somebody shout together. In arrangement for the release of a pleasant sound. That's harmony. Coming together. Come on. Arranging ourselves for the release of a pleasant sound. That's not murmuring and complaining. Come on, that's complimenting and enjoying. Am I right about it? Agreement is defined as a negotiated and typically legally binding agreement between parties as to which course of action we need to take. All right? So when we reference the word agreement, we think of unity. You can write that down. We think of one accord. We think of harmony. Come on, two or more notes coming together to produce a harmonious sound. We think of an agreement, a contract, or a covenant. All right? Now I'm going to do a quick example with two individuals. Roger and Mike, you guys run back up here for me. Amos 3 and 3, write the scripture down. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, go back. I need Mike and Sonya. I need a husband and a wife. Y'all, come on up here. Come on up here. Mike, Pastor Charlie told me, if you got to call on somebody, babe, call on Mike. So, the power in agreement. I agreed. I said, okay. I ain't got no problem with that. Amos 3 and 3, write that down. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Uh-huh. As long as we are in agreement, wrap your arms together. Come on. As long as we're in agreement, we're connected. We're connected. Oh, yes, baby. We're connected. Going in the same direction, at the same time, with the same purpose, and with the same intent, we connected. We're going together. Come on back the other way. But when one disagrees with the direction we're going, the purpose or the intent, when one disagrees, they on it, y'all. A disconnect takes place. Come on. Oh, you, Mike, you better talk to me. You stay right there. Come on. A disconnect takes place because there's now a disagreement. I don't agree with where you're going, how you're going there, and what you're going there for. So a disconnect takes place. Are y'all with me this morning? Now one is left alone, Poson. One is left alone, and poor Mike. I know Mike like, why she gotta be the poor one? How many of y'all got family members, they always go to the woman's side? What he do now? Man, that was your chance to shout right there. What'd he do now? And the man going, how come it's always got to be me? How come it can't be her? There go another disagreement that's creating another disconnect. Because we always want to point fingers, Saeed, pointing fingers. Y'all know my story. Go ahead and point. Go ahead. You got my permission. It's the only time. Don't be pointing at anybody unless someone asks. You pointing, but it's three finger pointing back at you. And that one is to convict you through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost saying, you know you wrong. You know you wrong. You pointing at him and her, and it's you. Somebody say, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Yes, it is. Let's get back to the word. Now, one is left alone, and I love Ecclesiastes 4 because it tells us what happens to the one that's left alone. Go ahead and run to Ecclesiastes 4. Use your table of contents. Go ahead. It's okay. That's why we have those electronic Bibles. You just have to look for the word and click it. Ecclesiastes, I'm there. When you're there, say amen. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Get back connected because it starts out to say two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one falls, begin to fall, Minister Sonia. You're my illustration. It says in verse 10, are you there? Okay, I'm just making sure. For if one falls, the other will lift up his companion. Stay connected, though, as she's falling, because you're connected. Come on, fall, Sonia, down. Now, it says, if one falls, thank you. It says, come on now, get up, Sonia, don't act like that. It says, the one is there to lift them. But that's why they're connected. That's why. Now, you fall, Mike. Don't put too much pressure on her. Don't want to crown about her back tomorrow morning. Now, Sonia, the other, is able to lift him. Now, I'm not making this up. It's in the word. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But whoa, listen to this. But somebody shout, but whoa. I'm talking friendships. I'm talking marriage. I'm talking the power of agreement and why we can't keep disconnecting from the vision and from the voice of God and from the people that God puts in our life. It says, but woe to him who is alone and falls. Now disconnect like you did earlier. Now, Sonia, fall. Woe to him or her who is alone when he falls. Watch what happens. And has no one to help him up. Isn't that something? Verse 11. But again, connect again, Sonia. 11 says, but again, he repeats the power of agreement. If two lie together, they will keep each other warm. You like that? It gets better. Watch this. It says, but how can one be warm alone? Together they can keep each other warm, but how can one keep himself warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand or defend themselves. Amen. So we have to no longer be disagreed. Come on. We have to be, when we get to a place where we're walking together and we're connected, we are in agreement. But when we disagree, let go, there's a disconnect that takes place. And this, go ahead and take your seats. I might call you back up in a minute. Write this down. This is a Latin prefix meaning apart. Oh, come back up. I just realized I do need you. Yeah, exercise. They walk in the trail. This is a Latin prefix meaning apart. It also means asunder. Now watch this. For the married couples, when we look at the word that says what God has put together, come on, by way of a marital agreement, a marital covenant, it says, let no man do what? Put asunder. Come on, this is a prefix that means asunder. Come on, disconnect causes a disagreement, all right? So for so long, we've been thinking with husband and wives, let no man put asunder. We're thinking, Minister Raj, come up here. What God has put together, let no man, come on, from the outside, come in and put asunder or separate or apart what God has put together. No. No. That could also mean, watch this, what God has put together through the covenant of agreement, come on, let no man, let no woman, come on, let no one disagree and cause a disconnect within the marriage. What am I saying? I'm just saying marriages are falling because we're looking out there for the man who's coming in to put asunder. We're looking for the woman with the short skirt on to come on up in here and put asunder. to separate, to disconnect what God put together, but the disconnect is taking place right there in our very own home. And marriages are leading to divorce because the disconnect and the disagreement here is what's causing a separation and a divorce in this marital covenant. Come on, give God a praise. Our eyes got to be open. Let no man, let no woman put asunder, separate, pull apart. And the pulling isn't coming from out there. It's coming from right in here. But no more. Come on. Because we're now discovering the power in agreement. Amen? Amen. So let's keep going. Thank you. Come on. It's taking place right there in the house. Come on. The one that started out with the goosebumps, the love and the infatuation and all that stuff. Come on. That's where it's taking place. So this is a Latin prefix that references apart, asunder, away, or it also references, dis, references having a negative or reversing force. So we're going one direction, but when something is disconnected because of a disagreement, it turns forcefully and goes the other direction, all right? Somebody shout, there's power in agreement. Now we see through understanding the definitions that disagreement has a negative or reversing force behind it. Does everyone see that? So when we disagree, we experience a negative reversing force that pushes us in the opposite direction from that which God originally intended us to go. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I have a question for those who embrace the saying, I agree to disagree. In this long discussion, the conclusion of the matter, Elder Charles Wiggins, is I agree to disagree. But here's my question. Isn't that an oxymoron? Doesn't that seemingly conflict, you know, and contradict itself? That's like saying I am an unbelieving believer. I'm an unbelieving believer. It's an oxymoron. It's like saying I'm an overweight malnourished individual. How can you be both? But we say in the conclusion of our discussion, I agree to disagree. How can you do both? And God began to show me what that statement is doing is keeping us in a place of confusion. It's keeping us in a place of disagreement, confusion, and inconsistency. I agree to disagree. They're totally opposite on the spectrum. Wouldn't it be better stated, I agree we both have different opinions concerning the matter, but that's okay? We need to process that. Let's start saying, I agree we both have different opinions, but that's okay. Instead of, I agree to disagree. Because that confusion and that inconsistency does not refer back to harmony. Harmony refers to order and consistency of those notes. And they bring about a pleasant sound. I've never seen a conversation end with I agree to disagree and everything remain pleasant in the atmosphere. I don't care how you look at it. Come on, y'all. There's still going to be some friction. Am I right about it? Because now the agreement to disagree, it has left me confused. I want to be right, but I know I'm wrong, but I can't come to that mutual place. And so it leaves us confused, does it not? So when dealing with relationships, if we want to get there together, someone has to do something, come on, that a lot of us refuse to do. They have to submit to the one who has heard from the Lord and cross on over. We don't want to do that because now it looks like I'm giving in and giving up and you won and I lost. Since when does a mutually beneficial relationship have a winner and a loser? Oh! Somebody caught that. I thought if we're in it together, we both in it to win it together. But how come I got to win, you got to lose, so I'm not coming where you are because I don't want to look like you won this discussion. The disconnect, the disagreement, the dissension, the discouragement, come on, the disgust that comes from the power of disagreement, and the unity, the power, and the love that is able to promote growth in the atmosphere that comes from agreement. Stop right there and somebody give God a praise. Come on. Give him a praise. 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 Got one more example. Who do I want to pick with? I think I want to pick with Elder Charles and Minister Norman, because they be coming from Northern Virginia, and we just be so honored to have y'all. Come on up here. Come on up here. Give it up. Give it up for our awesome elders in the house. There we go. Yeah, that's good. Stay right there. Stay at the far end for me, Minister Norman. Go back just a little bit. All right, here we go. We're at home. We both agree we're out of milk. That ever happened before? We agree on that. We both agree that someone needs to go, we need to go to the store and get some milk. We agree that we want to go together. What we don't agree on is Elder Charles, take a step away, go down. You want to go to the store that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got your reason. It's quicker. It's, we can hear him and get back home. I might run by in the sports store while I'm going this direction, grab something I need, run back out. Minister Norma, in return, wants to go this way. Yeah, take a couple. Yeah, stop right there. And you're looking at him like, are you coming or not? Now, we both agree we're out of milk. We both agree we need to go to the store. Come on. But you have your logic and reasoning for going that way. Minister Norma has her logic and reasoning for going this way. What has just happened? In the midst of a discussion, a disagreement, a disconnect took place, and now they're in total disagreement, right? But Ecclesiastes 1 just said, let me get you, Elder Lawrence, come down here, because in the midst of wherever it is you're going, how many of you know, oftentimes, stand right here on the step, there's going to be danger in the way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So can I just say Ecclesiastes 4, it warned us, you can go alone if you want to. Come on, it does. It says, but when you are overpowered by the enemy, you have nobody there, baby, to help defend you. Come on, while he taking you down, come on now, let's go on and illustrate it. You headed to the store big, bad, and by yourself, and here comes the enemy to overpower you. Begin to gently overpower her. I got you, better thank me for that later, okay? Because Elder look like he can yank your earrings out, rip that red necklace off. You want me to overpower her? I got this. Begin to gently overpower her. All she can do is say, help, help. But look, she sent her husband the other direction. Keep overpowering her. The other direction. But what happens when I say, can somebody cross over and not let pride and arrogance and I know the best way to do this? Can somebody please cross over and say, honey, ain't no way I'm going to let you go and do this by yourself. I don't go, oh, you are, I know you ain't. Now come and show me what you got. And this is what is happening too many times in our houses. We're being overpowered by the enemy because we big, bold, and bad and can do this all by ourselves. But the power of agreement says I don't have to be in this all by myself. When the enemy comes in like a flood, come on, my partner will rise up a standard against him and conquer and overpower and overwhelm the work of the enemy. That is, can y'all raise your hand? The power of agreement. That's the power of agreement in the house. Amen. Give it up. Let's take our seat. Give God a praise if you're able to see something that you couldn't see before you came. That is the power of agreement helps keep us from being wore out, weak and weary, and well doing. Going where we're going by ourselves with nobody to aid and assist us. Come on. It's a refreshing experience. And a lot of us are just wearing ourselves out because of the opposing force called disagreement. And we know that disagreement is synonymous with disobedience. Mm-hmm. But there's a slight difference. You can jot this note down. This is to me. You can say, according to PV, this is nowhere in the gospel. But if the Lord gave it to me, you can consider it the gospel. He says that disobedience is categorized as a major in the minds of many. Disobedience is a major. Major violation is what I'm hearing in the minds of many. While disagreement is categorized as a minor. Mm-hmm, it's a minor because it involves our personal feelings, which we've been taught is okay to release. Mm-hmm. For any reason, at any time, this my personal feeling. I can just tell you what I'm feeling when I want to, where I want to, and how I want to. And it's categorized as a disagreement. And because it involves our personal feelings, it's categorized as a minor. Whereas to outright disobey the word of God or something that someone says the Lord told them, that's a major. Ooh, you don't do that. So we let our personal feelings get in the way and create a disagreement, but they work hand in hand. Come on. Disagreement with the word of God leads to disobedience. Am I right about it? If you disagree, that means you're not going to do what it says and you're going to end up disobeying. Somebody's right down, they go hand in hand. That's why we can't be so quick to debate, the word of God. So I'm going to do this Genesis text and we're going to close. But when we're in agreement or one with God, we're in agreement or one with the promises of his word. Amen. Write down 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. And it's a simple scripture. It says all of God's promises are yes and amen. Somebody shout, that settles it. All of God's promises are, someone shout, yes and amen. Say, that settles it. It goes on to say in verse 22 that he has sealed us and given us the spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So how do we know that the word we read, the word we hear is guaranteed for us? Because we receive it in our heart as such. That's the guarantee. And as we walk it out, the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth. Amen. So we have to come into agreement with his word and believe. Someone shout, I believe. Say it again. I believe. That what he has said and what he continues to say is true. Amen? And how many of you know there's a thin line between truth and fact? Yeah. Oh, yeah, facts can add up. But the funny thing, Dana, is you might find the truth in one scripture. But if it's true, it adds up and supersedes the list of facts that the doctor's saying, that the checkbook is reporting, that the husband and the kids are verbalizing. The truth has more power. Come on. One word has more power, come on, than 25 facts that the enemy can run check on you with. Am I right about it? Somebody shout the truth. So we have to be careful that we don't disconnect because of the facts. And sometimes we do. And that's okay. Because today you're going to have an opportunity to reconnect with the truth and the word of God. Amen? Amen. One with God. When God says something to us directly or indirectly, you do know he can speak to us through another individual. Are we all in agreement with that? Amen. You know, I reference oftentimes Samuel when he went to anoint David. He could have said, God said, you're going to be the next great king over Israel. David could have said, well, who are you? Come on, God spoke his word through a prophet, a prophetic voice in the atmosphere. And that is what engaged David to understand that he is the next great king. So no matter what God says to us, we can't stray from his word, no matter what it looks like. Amen. So if God tells Adam and Eve, you can eat from every tree except for this one right here, no matter how red and juicy that fruit looked, Eve should not have engaged in that apple. Come on, because she knew what God said. We can't stray away from his word no matter what other people say, even family members. Y'all know family members think they know us. They don't know us. Because when we accepted Christ, we became a new creature. The old Vicky, the old Robin, the old Behold, Danielle has passed away. The words that behold, that means you better watch out. Because I'm brand spanking new now. And so even when we think that people know us and they want to tell us something else, but when we hear from God, we cannot move from what he has said. And no matter what Satan whispers in our ear, come on, Adam and Eve knew what God told them in the Genesis text. But Satan came to whisper in the ear and say, he knows the word. That's why he says, he didn't say, what did God say to you, Elder Rashid? He didn't say, what did God say to you? He came and told Eve, surely God didn't say don't eat from this tree. So I come to let you know the strategy of the enemy is he knows God's word just as well as you. That's the only way he can articulate and bring disagreement or a disconnect is to speak the opposing force of the word that has originally been spoken into your spirit and into your ear. Mm-hmm. Because when you receive it, you're in agreement. And there's something that is carrying you into what God has spoken over your life. But as soon as the enemy comes into the discussion, can I just say this? Let's stop engaging in discussion with the enemy. If I just said all of God's promises are yes and amen, what is there to discuss? So number one, Eve engaged in a discussion because after he came with the word saying, surely God didn't say Eve. She should say, yes, he did, later. Or she could have just gave him the hand and ignored him. Or we need to do what Jesus did in Matthew when he was tempted. He concluded each of his temptation with three powerful words of agreement. He said, Satan, it is written. That's the bottom line. When God says something to us, we don't need to engage in conversation with, well, you're going to start a business is what the Lord says, and here's the enemy. How you going to do that? You don't even have enough money to pay your bills. You ain't even got but $50 in your savings account. You don't even know no business partners, and you have no power of influence in that arena. How are you going to do that? I dare to say, we need to just look back at him and say, it is written. But when the enemy said you need to just go ahead and nullify that marital certificate and you need to just go ahead and throw that towel in, oh, he'll never love you or she'll never love you the way you deserve to be loved. And we know what God has put together. No man shall disconnect or disagree with this marital agreement. Instead of saying, well, you know, maybe you're right. He's not and she's not treating me the way I deserve. We need to stop engaging in conversation and discussion with the enemy. And we need to say it is written. What God has put together, no man shall put asunder. When God releases that anointing, that call that's over your life, come on, as big and bad and bold as it is, and the enemy comes in and says, you're not even a leader in the church. You're just a member sitting on the fifth row each and every week. You can't even give all the tithe and the offering that the man of God is saying you need to give. How in the world are you going to walk in such a powerful anointing? Such a powerful calling. But what Satan don't know is with every glory that God is about to release over your life, there's going to come some valleys that you're going to have to go through. There's going to come some rivers that you're going to have to cross. But what the enemy don't know is that you're going to be refreshed by the watering of the word of God because it's powerful. My word says it's active. My word says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't have to fight my battles when I'm walking in a word like that because the sword and the word that's on the inside of me is powerful enough to cut up and annihilate, to disassemble the enemy, all of his works, all of his tactics, all of his plots, and all of his schemes. I speak prophetically over this house right now that all of the voices of the enemy that has been speaking in the ears of God's people, we begin to silence them and nullify them now. All of God's promises promises are yes and amen. If it's said and if it's spoken, we stand as we lift our hands. I speak complete agreement with the power of God's word that Satan has tried to frustrate many in this room by saying it's not going to be so. I pronounce over each one whose hand is lifted in agreement with the word of God spoken over your life. It's not going to be so, but it is already so right now. And you are walking it out. You are being groomed and you are being developed. Long as you stay connected with the word of God, you are never alone as long as you stay on his side. Don't let him have to look down and find you in a place of discontent, because that's a disconnect that the enemy is thrusting your way. But purpose in your heart with all hands just lifted as a sign of agreement and unity. We're going to do something that's rarely done in some houses. We're going to stand in agreement with his word this morning through the lifting of our hands. Do you know when we come in agreement, that's when the Spirit of God comes in like a rushing wind and it's able to overtake us and move us out of that place where we have been discouraged and discomfort and where confusion, stress, and tension and concern has been? Every last one of us have heard something different from the Spirit of God. But Satan is attacking and attempting to distract and destroy every word spoken. And I stand as a prophetic voice in this house that no longer shall we engage in discussions with Satan any longer. We shall combat him with three powerful words. It is written. It has been spoken, and it is written in his word that greater is he that is in me. Just receive these words. Whew. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Though many weapons are being formed to come up against me, the word says not one, I say not one of them shall prosper. Though they shall be formed, they shall not prosper against you. And you may have been at a place where you know prior to coming into this word, you were more discouraged than you were encouraged. You were more frustrated than you were at peace with what God has spoken. And you want to make just a public confession. The purpose of this altar is for you to make a public confession and to come in agreement with the word. The altar is not a scary or a spooky place. An altar is a place where we serve notice on the enemy. And we say, I'm no longer listening and entertaining you any longer. Just make your way on up to this altar. There's going to be leaders that's going to be able to...